Hello, you're listening to Tax Talk, a podcast series from the Irish Tax Institute, which explores current issues in the world of taxation. I'm your host, Donal O'Donovan. The Tax Debt Warehousing Scheme was one of the most innovative business supports introduced by government during the pandemic. It was clear from the outset that warehouse debt would have to be repaid, and the deadline for making arrangements to do so is May 1st, 2024. In early February, the Minister for Finance announced that the planned 3% interest rate on warehouse debt would be reduced to zero, and Revenue undertook to show significant flexibility in the arrangements to repay the debt. The latest numbers show 56,700 taxpayers have warehouse debt, 46% of these owe less than €500, and 83% of the total €1.7 billion in the warehouse is owed by around 5,000 taxpayers. Joining me now to discuss what happens next for these taxpayers, for all of these taxpayers, is David Broderick, Director of the Small Firms Association, Stephen Gahan of O'Doherty Gahan Advisory and a Council Member of the Institute, Maureen Murray and Davina Lyons, who are Principal Officers in the Collector General's Division of Revenue. I suppose, Maureen Murray, if I can start with you and the revenue perspective on this. Revenue is actually just written to all of the taxpayers who have debt in the warehouse. What are you saying to them now?
Yeah, and thanks, Donal. And actually, this podcast is very timely in that it coincides with our letter drop this week. So just this week, we have written to over 30,000 customers that have debt in the warehouse with over 100 euros. And really, the letters are just a call for action. We're outlining the actions needed by businesses between now and 1 May. Included in that letter is a schedule of their debt. So it's the up-to-date listing of the debt outstanding for them. We outline the payment options available to them. So where business has financial capacity, they can use one of our online payment methods. But more importantly, what we want to emphasise in that is the payment option of a phased payment arrangement. So where a business knows now that they will need a payment plan for the payment of their warehouse debt, we're highlighting that they need to act on that now, submit that application to us via ROST now. It may take a number of weeks before we agree that final payment plan with them, but that's as long as they have that application submitted to us, that's a level of engagement we want to see. We've also highlighted in that letter the importance of current taxes and maintaining those. So because really we can't really have a discussion around warehouse taxes if the business is already struggling with their current taxes. So again, we outline that. We also outline in the letter the consequences of no action in terms of, and what would be the worst outcome really for the business would be losing the 0% interest rate on the warehouse debt, losing the opportunity to avail of flexible payment arrangements. We also give our contact details in the My Inquiries for follow-up queries. And we've also emphasised that where they use a tax agent for managing their affairs, that these letters are going directly to the taxpayer, so they really need to bring the letter to the attention of their agent. So I suppose to sum up, Donal, what we're saying in the letter is take action now, go into ROS, submit your PPA, and also address your current taxes if there's issues.
And is there a particular complication there? There will be a cohort of businesses, I suppose, who are not up to date on their 2023 liabilities, for instance, and who also have warehouse debt. How should they think about tackling that?
Yeah, so I mean, if a business already has had trouble with their current taxes, they've already been receiving demands and final demands from us. So we would hope they would have that level of engagement with us. We do appreciate some businesses continue to struggle with post-pandemic. And again, I suppose the key message is they have to come to us with their difficulties. We'll certainly address them via our flexible payment options, but that engagement has to come from them. Don't bury your head in the sand, I suppose, is the key message there.
Davina Lyons, you're also at the Collector General's Division in the Revenue. There are lots of big numbers, I suppose, that get thrown out, and it can be easy to be lost in the numbers. But in terms of the groups of taxpayers who have warehouse debt, how are you thinking about those groups? How are you breaking down those numbers?
So I think in the introduction you mentioned just the overall statistics, and we do say 56,000 customers in the warehouse. Lots of those have nominal balances, and we talk about that 5,100 cases that have the 1.4 billion out of the 1.6. Mm-hmm. That's one cohort, so that is, you know, a significant amount of money is based on a small amount of customers. But between that and 500 euros in the warehouse, there is another volume of customers that we look at, and we say, you know, the 30% of the businesses in the warehouse have over 5,000 euros in the warehouse, and then 70% of that 56,000 have under. But it, you know, those nominal balances under 500 euros, people can pay that off in full, or pay it off through offsets. If they have over 500 euros, they can come in through Ross for a PPA and get that. So, you know, for David's members, you know, 1,200 euros based on their current financial situation might still be a lot of money.
Yeah.
They can come in and set up a PPA for us, and we can get that going for them. Or what has happened over the last 2 years is people have been paying it off as they go through that offset facility or through actually ad hoc payments. So we have actually reduced the overall balance in the warehouse since January 2023. It was at just around 3.2 at the peak, and it's down to 1.6 now. And that cohort of customers was over 100,000. That's down to the 56 now. So that's kind of the numbers, but it's PPA, it's full payment. For anyone over the 500, our offsets is another opportunity for them to reduce down that balance.
Is there a particular group that you're worried about? I suppose very large enterprises tend to have very professional kind of in-house accountancy and tax advisors. Very smaller businesses, you say, I mean, the figures can be 500 euro, which generally, I guess, they'll be able to offset against other taxation. Is there a group that you're worried about engaging?
We want everyone to engage with us, and we want to work with everyone to get them over the line and to keep the viable businesses going. So I won't say there's a particular cohort. You know, like the small and medium enterprises may struggle more than some of the larger enterprises to get that over the line. But really, we want everyone to come and engage with us. And I suppose it's up to the business to initiate that installment arrangement proposal to us. So while we know what customers' tax affairs position is like, and Maureen has mentioned the letter drop, we really need them now to act and come in to us, and we can set it up. And look, our message has always been, it's been a significant facility for customers over COVID, significant support, and we want to just successfully exit the people out of this now and keep them trading where they're viable.
And Maureen, that word flexibility, I suppose, it's an unusual word to hear in terms of taxation. But what does it mean, or what do you think it's going to mean in practice?
Well, I suppose in terms of a warehouse debt, there was also always an acknowledgement that warehouse debt was different debt from your standard debt, because it arose for businesses that were normally compliant at a time, unprecedented time for business, where many of them were told to close overnight, or their trading conditions were severely impacted. So the flexibility, there is, I suppose, increased flexibility around that warehouse debt. And it's just an acknowledgement that warehouse debt is different from standard. Some businesses may have substantial amount of debt that, you know, over our standard, what was pre-COVID, we would have said a 3-year payment plan would have been standard. That may not be possible now for those businesses. So flexibility really is agreeing a payment plan that's flexible, tailored to that business circumstance, that also allows them to maintain their current taxes going forward. So we really don't want to come in and say, no, you have to pay it over 2 years. If by doing that, that's not going to be sustainable, and it's actually, they're going to fall behind in current. So really the flexibility, we have a full range of flexible options there available. We're not saying they're available to all. It'll be certainly case by case, but the flexibility that's there will allow us to agree individual plans for and a payment plan that's sustainable, that's realistic for that business, and while also allowing them to maintain current taxes going forward and giving certainty to that business really going forward.
And depending on the amounts, I suppose, and the size of the business, that can be thought of in terms of years rather than necessarily months. And
certainly. I mean, we made changes to our flexible payment options during COVID to allow the 5-year duration, and we have agreed durations longer than that where the business circumstances have warranted it. So again, it's really come to us, let us see what you need for your business circumstances and apply those flexibilities. I might also say, Donal, as well, that especially for that small business, that local cafe, that local restaurant that's already struggling with current taxes, and they now have 1,000 euros of warehouse debt that we have told them about, and they're already saying, well, how, I'm already struggling with current, how am I going to pay warehouse? that's not a reason for them to, you know, to kind of bury their head in the sand and not come to us. That's more, it's really that small business that we want, even more than the larger cohort, you know, the larger corporate. We want that business to come to us because we can very easily set up a payment plan for them, because it's their viability that we're most concerned with, that low, that small business, you know, because €1,000, €2,000 is quite substantial for them. So that you know, €100 a month over a 24 month period for that small business could be sufficient for them to keep trading, to give certainty to cash flows going forward.
David Broderick, from the small firm's point of view, there are a lot of caveats there, obviously, in terms of what is going to be available to businesses. Have businesses sort of thought of this as an interest-free loan up to now?
I think, first of all, you know, it was a fantastic scheme that kept many businesses alive, and quite simply, they wouldn't be here if it wasn't for the scheme. Some people have used it to their advantage, and then, you know, and they've kind of made their plan, and, you know, certainly some of our members were, okay, well, I haven't engaged yet, but I'm going to, and it's us trying to give them the shove to engage sooner rather than later. They used the money, they used it well, some of them. Others, it was a lifeline, it was what they took, and unfortunately the way the trading environment has got at the moment, with the increase in regulation, the increase of cost of doing business, this is coming as another cost, technically, if you want to call it that way. It's more the timing happening when you've got increased input costs, when you've got the changes in relation to minimum wage, going to living wage, statutory sick pay, and all these other things. It's another thing for small businesses to be worried about at the moment.
As you say, the timing is maybe the issue. Are businesses aware that this is coming? Because it's quite soon. It's really weeks.
Yeah, absolutely. We've run information sessions with Revenue to our members. They do know it's coming, and we're urging them to engage. Just, you know, the money is there, it needs to be paid back. And regardless of your situation that you're going through, engage with Revenue. Certainly the feedback from our members has been extremely positive. Already Maureen Davina mentioned some of the, you know, the options that you can go with. But you need to engage, and that's the first thing. So our advice is, you know, pick up the phone, engage, and Revenue will work with you.
Stephen Gahan, you advise businesses, and you're working with businesses to actually do the filing. This isn't a question of file and pay, is it? There's going to be more work involved.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a key point in relation to that. And I know Maureen and Davina mentioned the availability of phase payment arrangements there. That process, particularly for larger debts, isn't just a tick-the-box exercise. And there is a bit of work to be done proving long-term viability and that you can sustain current taxes as well. And that does take a bit of work in terms of proving that long-term viability within the business. There's no point in a small business agreeing a payment plan that's too aggressive, because you're going to end up in a similar situation than you're already in at the moment. Let's say you have to build a plan that's sustainable, but that really comes from then understanding the business and not just the Revenue debt itself, but the wider liabilities that are in the business at the moment, and understanding how that works and feeding through a plan that works from a holistic perspective, from a business point of view, that it can sustain itself not only from the Revenue debt point of view, but also from its fundamental business, if you know what I mean.
But that is not a small job of work, is it, for a business? And in terms of accountancy firms and tax advisors, you're going to be swamped, I guess, in the next kind of 4 to 5 weeks. Do you have the infrastructure and the numbers to do it?
Well, I suppose the first thing to say is, in a lot of cases, and for smaller debts, it can be a straightforward scenario. Businesses, in a lot of cases, probably do have the capability to pay, just haven't got around to doing it yet. There are certainly a larger cohort of businesses within debt warehousing at the moment that will need that extra bit of attention. They'll need that sort of extra period of time, and that level of work will certainly be required. I mean, no more than the businesses themselves, smaller firms and tax practitioners and accounting firms that are actually dealing with this on the ground at the moment are themselves short-staffed and struggling with capacity issues. And you know, I suppose there is an expectation now with these letters having issued that there'll be certainly far more phone calls coming in on a Monday morning saying, okay, what are we going to do about it? And there's one other point, I suppose, to make in relation as well, and Maureen mentioned in the intro as well, is that in some cases there can be an assumption that just because you've got a tax agent engaged, that they're fully aware of the warehouse debt or might actually be engaging with revenue on your behalf. And that's actually not the case. The vast majority of warehouse debt is actually VAT and payroll taxes, and you'll tend to find the vast majority of tax agents are appointed to different tax heads. So revenue can't actually engage directly with tax agents on these tax heads unless they're appointed as your agent for those particular tax heads. And we would certainly find that as news to some taxpayers that, you know, they think if you're just appointed as their agent there, you're appointed for all tax heads, which is not the case. So in a lot of cases, tax practitioners aren't actually aware of what the full level of warehouse debt is for a particular client. You know?
And that's a conversation you are going to have with each client.
Absolutely, and have been having with clients, exactly.
David, would it be fair to say that some businesses have been sort of almost living in hope that this day would never come?
Yeah, look, that was definitely an opinion that was out there. But I think when the Minister McGrath announced the changes down to 0%, and I think there was probably an acknowledgement then that you know, that's probably as good as we're going to get, for want of a better phrase. You know, it wouldn't be fair either, you know, to be honest. There's a lot of people who had engaged with revenue and you know, some took out even loans to pay back the debt, so it wouldn't be fair to go the other way. But I think it's clear now, we know that's not happening. So if anyone's listening and they're holding on for that day, I think you could be waiting a while.
And I suppose the key point of the scheme was to keep otherwise viable businesses alive at a time when the economy was really forcibly shut down. There is going to be a group of businesses that weren't actually viable at that time, that maybe have traded through it, have sort of are almost running on fumes, if you like. Does this create a crunch point for those businesses to maybe have to face up to viability questions?
Yeah, look, I think so. Us in the SFA, we meet with government once a week, and, you know, that phrase does come out of, you can't stay on a life support forever. So, look, unfortunately, that will be the case, and people need to be realistic about that and you know, talk to the advisors, the likes of the Stevens or whoever it is, and kind of make a plan. I think some people are quite unlucky as well, because the other costs and the things outside of this have now come in and had such a big impact. So, you know, although you may have been in a situation a few months ago, that can change and has changed very, very quickly. As I said, around the minimum wage, the amount of companies I'm talking to, and I know maybe retail and hospitality get a lot of the limelight, they're the canary in the mine for us. It's happening across the board, it's happening manufacturing. Again, although they know it's coming, it's when they see it at the bottom line and when they see the effect on their margins, you know, you need to step back and take a good look at the overall picture.
And this, I guess, is a sort of line in the sand in a way.
Yeah, absolutely.
Davina, there will be consequences for businesses that don't engage with you guys at this point, inevitably. What are they going to be?
So our first agenda is to get them to engage with us and get them across the line successfully and keep them trading where they're viable, as David said. If they bury their heads in the sand and they don't engage with us, you know, very much, then it becomes normal debt for collection and will come through what we call standard debt collection processes, and final demanded, potentially enforcement action then, and those enforcement options are sheriff, attachment, solicitor. And that's not what we want to get to either, you know, and that's not what we want the business to have to face. So again, that piece about pushing the application into Ross is open 24 hours a day. Get that application up and start that negotiation piece with us. And just in relation to some of the things that have been mentioned so far, like, there's a couple of things happening in relation to businesses. So, you know, for example, you have a business that's, let's say, a retail business, an example. They have debt in the warehouse, but they don't have any current issues or 2023 tax issues. And they want to come in, they want an arrangement for 60 months with a minimal down payment. You know, we can look at that and say, you know, in some cases, I have an example of a retail business, they actually had actively, proactively reduced down their warehouse for their POIE for the previous year. So we would treat that as proactive engagement. That's their down payment, and happy to set up that arrangement. You have other types of cases then where, you know, we have a case here where a restaurant has current issues as well as the debt warehousing issues. And the range of flexibilities has to be tweaked in that scenario, because current issues, maintaining current taxes is an obligation of the warehouse to have the benefits of it. So we want to get them back on track where they can. And in that case, if you can come back, get on track with your current, we would treat potentially that as a down payment on a case-by-case basis, and then get you into an arrangement on the 0% on the PPA. And what we have been saying to cases that have actively come to us so far, we can say to them, there, you know, what that interest saving is, because some people want to come, Donal, and put everything into the PPA, you know, extended unrealistic durations. That has an interest cost, which I'm not sure is really recognised out there, for the debt that isn't during the COVID periods. And that debt, if it's current, would be paid last. So we're trying to encourage them to come in, pay the current. There's an interest saving for them if we can get them on track with that, and then go into the 0% duration for the PPA. So there's a couple of different types of scenarios for the businesses. So they, if they can reflect on that, on the PPA consideration, get back on track with their current, any 2023, and go in fresh. And now if we do need to put some current into the PPA, there will be an interest burden there, and really I suppose it's everyone going in with their eyes open of what that looks like and maintaining that then into the future. Because if we don't maintain the PPA, that will cease to exist, and we're back into a situation where that 0% on that debt is gone. And we don't want to be in that position.
And if it goes, I mean, the brass taxes, if you lose your 0%, what interest are you paying?
You're paying 8 or 10% on that, yeah. So that's a significant variance.
I mean, it's quite a penal interest rate when you could have paid nothing. Now you're looking at 10%, and it'll be 10% on your VAT and your employer's PAYE debt, which is most of the debt, you know, that's in the warehouse anyway. But also, as well as losing your 0% interest rate, which is very favourable, your tax clearance will be impacted. You could be placed on the RCT, the highest rate of RCT. That very flexible payment option may not be available to you the next time round, when we're looking at, you know, you didn't engage with your warehouse debt, you now have current tax issues. You know, we may not be looking at a very good compliance history there, so you may not get flexible payment options the next time round. So again, look, it's the worst outcome really for the business.
And we are offering flexibilities in relation to payment breaks once it's up and active and you're engaging in it. If you have a temporary cash flow issue,
yeah,
and there's a payment break facility, yeah, we can consider that.
That's
so that
point,
is,
yeah,
a flexibility,
yeah,
in the duration of the PPA as well.
But
yeah,
that's a flexibility if you stay within the scheme, if you engage now.
When you come to us, yeah.
Yeah. Like, we do need a down payment amount to kind of initiate and to kind of get the PPA activated. But if you feel then, well, for the next 6 months, I just can't afford my monthly payment, again, there's flexibility. Once you pay your down payment, your PPA is up and active in our system, we can give you you can come in and apply for a payment break for 6 months just to get you over that hump of a temporary cash flow situation. So again, that's a flexibility that's there. It, you know, for that small business, they might say, well, I can't afford it the next 6 months, so I'm not going to do anything. I'm going to stay away from revenue. Don't. It's the opposite. You should come to us, pay that. We can negotiate the down payment amount and give you a payment break for 6 months to get you over that temporary cash flow difficulty.
Stephen Gahan, you talk to businesses, I suppose, every day. Are they engaged at that level? Are they sort of aware that this is something that they have to do now, or they really do lose a major benefit?
I think there's a general awareness out there in relation to debt warehousing. I think the vast majority of businesses that have availed of the scheme know that it's there. I would say on the engagement piece, there's probably two points I'd make in relation to that. One is probably priority relative to everything else that's going on in life and in business at the moment. You know, staff shortages being a big thing for many businesses, particularly smaller businesses at the moment. And it's pretty much the business owner getting down, rolling up the sleeves and doing work they probably wouldn't have had to do before. And it's an element of time and where this sits on the list of priorities for them. It has to come up the list of priorities, and those are the types of discussions that we...
So if you're an owner manager and you might be sort of just trying to keep the doors open, and you might be trying to wash the floor, but this is something that you have to set that work aside for.
You really do, and I think, you know, from a number of different perspectives, I suppose one is the opportunity that's there at the moment. I mean, 0% rate for engaging on this particular debt. Revenue are very flexible on this and have been throughout in relation to this. So it is a very good opportunity for businesses to deal with this now versus, you know, 2 or 3 months' time. And we're really talking about that level of window here, a number of weeks, really, right? So I do think it needs to come up the priority list for sure. And again, I would say, you know, historically, there might well be a nervousness on the part of business owners of contacting revenue directly in relation to these types of matters, and that they wouldn't necessarily have the skill set or the capability of engaging. My experience in terms of engaging with the Collector General's Division on particularly debt warehousing and stuff like that is they are quite supportive and helpful in terms of, you know, working through the process. So, you know, if there's a concern there that they don't want to be shelling out fees to tax practitioners or whatever to engage and do PPAs or whatever, that they shouldn't necessarily have a fear of contacting revenue directly on this particular stuff.
And what have you seen so far? I mean, in terms of flexibility, in terms of arrangements that are in place, are there enough in place now that you kind of have a sense of what they're likely to be depending on the type of business?
Yeah, we've seen everything across the board. We've seen the full scale of, you know, businesses that have engaged early, been very proactive, have their warehousing debt paid off in full at this stage, let's say. We've seen other businesses that, again, have been, you know, proactive and engaged and putting in place payment arrangements that are sustainable and, you know, helps the viability of the business. And equally, we've seen other businesses that are struggling. You know, you mentioned a couple in the hospitality space, Davina, that, you know, and that would be typically where we would see them, let's say, where, you know, cash flow is just the big limiting factor for them, and agreeing any sort of payment arrangement at this stage, there's very little visibility long term for them, if you know what I mean. And, you know, those are difficult conversations to be having with clients, because in some cases it's a case of not whether they close the doors or not, but when they might close the doors, if you know what I mean. And again, I would say, you know, in relation to those particular types of business that are struggling very much so, that, you know, I wouldn't see that necessarily as a reason not to engage at all. You know, if they have to engage, and if things don't work out longer term, then so be it, but at least make a good effort at it.
Maureen, is that something that you're conscious of, that there are businesses that, you know, that are going to be saying, look, we can't address this, and in fact we can't continue to trade? Have you sort of estimated that, you know, the extent to which that's going to affect the final outcomes?
Yeah, well, I suppose Davina has given the tranches there of the debt that's in the warehouse, and we know, you know, a small number of customers have large volumes of debt, but we, you know, from the evidence of our outreach, we know a lot of them have kind of financially planned for the payment of that debt. For the smaller customers then, which are, the, you know, for the smaller customers with debt, we know that, you know, in some cases, as we were mentioning earlier, the payment of warehouse, it might crystallize, you know, and bring to the fore whether the underlying business model is viable in the future. So again, you know, we may, even when they come to us, we have that engagement, but we see they have current tax issues. We look through all our flexible payment options, but we cannot come to an agreement that will actually be sustainable in the future. It will really be up to that business then to, you know, to consult with tax practitioners, you know, go to some, consider the insolvency options that are out there. In terms of SCARP, you know, we Revenue has been a very constructive participant in the SCARP. Numbers have been low to date, but where, you know, it has worked, and we have been participating in that. There's examinership in the case of individuals, then there's personal insolvency, but it's really for the business, for the individual themselves, at some point to realise that my business is not viable. There's, you know, there is issues here, and we do have to make a call here. Yeah,
I suppose over the last year and a half, there has been businesses where we've had to make that tough decision, where we haven't been able to get them to the table on compliance issues, keeping up their current taxes or other matters, and we've had to remove them from the warehouse, and therefore that debt becomes standard debt for collection. And then some of those have subsequently gone down the liquidation route, examinership route, etc. And really, you know, there is cases probably between now and the next couple of months, again, that may be in that position where they're not coming to the fore, and we will have to remove them from the warehouse. But there has been ample opportunity, and this is key now. You know, we need everyone to act now. Phone us, come through Ross, come through the My Inquiries and just start the conversation with us on that piece, really important, because we will acknowledge that engagement.
David, is that something you're conscious of?
Yeah, look, I think we always say that the two greatest assets that business owners lie over is their time and their cash flow, and they have very little of both. So I think just kind of to dovetail what the guys are saying, there's plenty of resources out there. You have your professional advisors like some Stephen, but your local enterprise office, you know, through the SFA, you have the Mentors Work Programme where you get a free mentor for 12 weeks. They'll come in and do a financial plan with you, you know. So I think, look, it's hard when you're in the middle of it and it's just another debt, but like, there is help out there. You just have to pick up the phone. And you can use any of those schemes. They're all free, you know, and you can use them and kind of put a plan in place. Just take your head out of it, because as I said, when you're caught up in it, it's very hard to see. It's very hard to see a way around it.
If there's a final message, Davina, in terms of the message that Revenue wants to put out there now around this, what is it?
Just before we come to that, there's a couple of common issues that maybe we'd like to address because it would help the taxpayer get it over the line quicker. There might be a misconception that if you have a current face payment arrangement for, just say, pre-COVID or post-COVID debt, and now you want to bring in your warehouse debt, that you can have two PPAs going on. That's not the position. It's all consolidated into one PPA. And just to reiterate that message, the 0% only applies to the warehouse periods, and the 8 and 10% will apply to everything else. The engagement piece, we really need you to come in through Ross. We need to get that application up. If you are looking for some exceptional extended period, put in the 60 months and we start that negotiation. But, you know, we have moved from the standard 36 months. The flexibility piece, again, we're absolutely hugely on board with the flexibility of what the minister announced, and we're working on that on a case-by-case basis, depending on your individual financial circumstances. If you have current or 2023, we really need to talk to you about getting yourself back on track on that piece and retaining the benefit. So overall message, Donal, is contact us from today on, please, and we get you successfully exited from the scheme.
And May 1st is the deadline.
May 1st is the absolute deadline.
Now, and just to add to that, there's no expectation that all your debt will be paid by 1 May. It's really that we will have started negotiating a payment plan with you by 1 May. So some businesses have financial capacity, they'll pay it off by 1 May. Come to us before, you know, we may not get through all the payment plans by 1 May, and there's no expectation, you know, given the volumes that we have to get through. So once we have that initiation of the payment application, it may be a number of weeks before we finalise that, but that's good, you know, that's engagement.
That's an important point, I suppose. If a business has engaged and gone in through Ross, they won't necessarily hear back on the 29th of April.
At the moment, the way it's working is that we are getting through those in real time. Yeah. I suppose it depends what the Irish psyche is and the deadline coming up to it. So look, what we're saying is get it into Ross. Yeah. It's on record. It's proactive engagement, and we'll acknowledge that.
And it may be then over the summer that you think you could find will finally have gone through each of those plans.
Oh no, I don't think it'll run into the summer. I mean, some of these applications, once they're on record, they will be, as Stephen was saying earlier, some of them are very straightforward. They're looking for a 2-year duration to pay 2,000 or 3,000 debt. We will approve those very quickly. We don't need any supporting documentation. We've actually streamlined the facility that anything up to 50k, we don't need supporting documentation. So really, that is a large number fall into that cohort. So we would expect a lot of these will once we get the application, and that's the key, it has to be in the system. All the correspondence will be prioritised as well in the Ross inbox. So once we go out to the customer we may be following up on, there'll be 5 days. There is a quite a strict timeline there. There's 5 days for that customer to come back to us with any follow-up queries. But once they do, you know, the application is approved very quickly, the down payment is made, and then it's up and running. So we wouldn't imagine it would flow into the summer, Donal. It's really, you know, a week or two, we would say, customer service type work that we will be doing, you know, before we start closing the warehouse and running through our kind of warehouse completion process.
So once that application becomes quite straightforward, you think?
Yes, I mean, we have streamlined the process as much as possible. Where it becomes complicated is where there's current debt issues. But if we're looking at a straightforward application for debt warehouse, you know, they're looking for 3 or 4 or 5 years, and it's evidence is that they've good compliance history, that'll be approved fairly quickly. Yeah.
David, from the small firm's point of view, there's no prospect now of changes to this, I suspect, at this stage, so this is the reality.
Absolutely, and look, business leadership's a very lonely place, and it can feel that way, but there is plenty of help out there. Pick up the phone to the SFA, to them going to mentorswork.ie, to the local enterprise office, to Stephen, but most importantly, go to Ross.
David Broderick, Director of the Small Firms Association, Stephen Gahan of O'Doherty Gahan Advisory and a Council Member of the Institute, Maureen Murray and Davina Lyons of the Collector General's Division of the Revenue. Thank you all, and I think that was really, really enlightening.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, John. Cheers.